Evening. Have our little on-deck circle dance here as we were getting in the right position. No problem, no problem. Thank you for joining us this evening. I invite your attention to some remarks from John chapter 14, a very famous passage. I'll be reading John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." This evening, under the title of Faith That Stills a Troubled Heart, I'd like to share with you four truths we find in this short reading that encourage us in our Christian walk, in our life of faith and faithfulness to Jesus Christ. So tonight's lesson is Faith That Stills a Troubled Heart. And by the way, are there plenty of things that trouble us in life? Absolutely. You know, there's always a situation in the Middle East. Have you noticed that? It just doesn't go away. It just moves from one place to another, one person to another. There's always situations in the Middle East. The price of gas, problems with our mate, our children, or our parents, problems at work or problems in the neighborhood, health or finances. We've all got these things that we concern ourselves with. Most of us have one or two things we find ourselves worrying about during the week. Jesus' apostles worried, but what they worried about was the words that Jesus was telling them. You see, for 3 years they'd followed the Lord. They'd been with Jesus through thick and thin through his ministry. And now Jesus has made it very clear that he is going to Jerusalem to die. And he is to be handed over to the authorities and killed. And of course the disciples, like Peter, often taken the lead. "No, Lord, no, that can't be right. No, Lord, never." The apostles knew that that ride on the roller coaster of faith that they were experiencing was going to get even wilder, because they didn't understand what Jesus was up against. He didn't understand God's plan. They didn't understand the coming cross. Even though Jesus said, "I'm going to Jerusalem to die," they just couldn't get it through their minds. So Jesus gives them these words of comfort, these words of peace, these words of direction for their hearts that we've just read. The first point that is a truth that stills a troubled heart is very simple. Verse 1, trust in God, trust also in Jesus. Trust in God, trust also in Jesus. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Now, when Jesus says that, is he a little Pollyanna? Is he just saying, just don't worry, be happy? Remember that song a few decades ago? Don't worry, just be happy. I don't think so. Jesus never asks us to escape from the problems of life. He's telling us to put our problems in perspective and under his lordship. If you trust in God, trust also in me, Jesus reminds us. Faith in God is the ultimate antidote to worry and fear. Have you noticed that? As our faith in the Lord increases, our worry tends to decrease. Likewise, when our faith is on the sliding side, our worry tends to be the increasing side. Have you noticed that in life? Trust in God, trust also in me, Jesus says. Now, some people think about, I'll have faith, but their faith is not necessarily in Jesus. It's in something else. Some people say, well, I have faith that everything will work out all right. I have faith in faith. I have faith in fate. They'll say all kinds of sorts of things. Jesus says, trust in God, trust also in me. If you trust in God's leadership, trust also in my leadership. I'm under God's leadership myself. Trust in God's plan. Trust in God, trust also in me. Faith that stills a troubled heart is faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and we trust ourselves to him. Jesus tells his disciples, trust me. It's okay, guys. I know this doesn't make sense to you now. I'm elaborating a little bit, commentary, if you will. I know when you hear my words that I'm going to die, this makes no sense to you. But if you trust in God, you need to also trust in me. It's going to be all right, gentlemen. The death of Jesus would not make sense to the disciples. You see, Jesus does not call us to understand him completely. He calls us to trust him completely. You see the difference? Sometimes we're waiting to understand God's will, and then we'll trust him. Okay, Lord, if you'll just show me why these dots connect, like you say, then I'll trust you. Then I'll follow you. I have faith in you. No, it's the wrong order. Jesus says, trust me first, and then you'll understand. Trust me first, and then you'll come to understand more of God's will for me. Why should we trust Jesus? Because he is the Son of God. Amen? If he is the Son of God, he's worthy of being trusted. If God the Father can be trusted, trust in God, trust also in me, Jesus says. He is both divine and human. And as the Son of God, he has the power and the wisdom and the eternal perspective that we do not have. We also trust in Jesus because he was human, because he understands us. The Hebrew writer says it this way in chapter 2 of Hebrews, verse 17. For this reason he had made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a faithful and merciful high priest in service to God. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted. You see, the incarnation of Jesus, Jesus putting on flesh, was not just a nice theological doctrine. It's a very practical doctrine, isn't it? It's a practical doctrine because Jesus has walked this earth. Jesus understands temptation. Jesus knows what it's like to fear. Jesus understands emotions. Jesus has experienced emotions. Trust in Jesus. That's just what he's saying to his disciples. Yes, I'm going to the cross. Yes, I'm going to die. Keep your trust in the Lord, God, and put your trust in me, Jesus says. So during the difficult transitions of life, the difficult moments of life, it's a time that we just need to trust Jesus. We may not figure out his plan. We may not figure out his will. We may not get all of our dots connected. But the one dot you got to connect is this. Jesus is God's Son. He knows what he's talking about. He is wise. He's all-powerful. And he loves me more than I could imagine. And I'm going to trust myself to him. Trust Jesus. Truth number two. Found in verse 2. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. King James Version says mansions. There is room for all. That's the truth that Jesus gives us. There's room for all with the Lord in heaven. Aren't you glad? You know, some of us try to get into a restaurant on Friday night or Saturday night, and you call for reservations and they're booked. You show up and get on the waiting list and it's an hour and a half. And then you have to go shopping in order to spend some time before your table's ready. And lo and behold, what happens? You spend all the money you were going to eat with while you're out there shopping. Life's like the way sometimes, isn't it? Jesus said, in my Father's house are many dwelling places, many rooms. King James Mansions is probably an inaccurate translation, a poor rendition at least. Mansions has the idea of luxury. And I know Scripture talks about golden streets and pearly gates. Heaven's a beautiful place. I understand that. But yet, the idea of mansions and Christians living in luxury, that's not ultimately our goal. Our goal is to be with Jesus, isn't it? You know? It's not that we have to have a certain kind of car, a certain kind of house. We've got to have gold-plated everything. That's not the idea. The idea of verse 2, in my Father's house are many dwelling places, is not luxury, it's availability. And there's a difference. You know, luxury is not bad to enjoy once in a while, but that's not our purpose. Availability is imperative. I've got to have a room. I've got to have a place. I've got to have a room there. When I was a kid, I remember traveling on vacation with my family in South Georgia, and we had not made motel reservations. That's the time when you often didn't make motel reservations. You just, 40 plus 50 years ago maybe, probably 50 years ago now. You just drive up to a motel and go inside and you gotta say, I'd like a room. And that's what you did. Well, we must have hit the bad traveling weather because guess what? Every hotel in South Georgia was booked. And we kept going north toward Atlanta, where we were headed. But there was no room in the inn. Every motel we passed said, no vacancy, no vacancy, no vacancy. And it got later and later and later. And finally, about midnight, we found one that said, vacancy, vacancy. And we didn't go in to see if they had gold-plated faucets in the bathroom. We weren't concerned about luxury. We were concerned about availability. We wanted a place to be. We wanted to go to sleep. The idea of heaven in my Father's house or many dwelling places is the availability of room for all who will trust and obey Jesus. It's not that we have to have the gold-plated, you know, faucets. And if they're gold-plated faucets in heaven, that's okay. I'll handle that. But the idea here is the availability, not the luxury. The faith that stills a troubled heart is the assurance that there are many available places in heaven. Because here's what happens. Guess what? Sometimes we feel like, you know, I'm just not good enough to go to heaven. I'm not perfect. I'm not like the elders. I'm not like the deacons. I'm not like the, you know, fill in the blank. Or my great, great sweet grandma. Or you fill in the blank. I'm just not good enough. Because we feel our sin. But you know what? You don't have to be good enough if you trust in the one who was good enough, and that's Jesus Christ. Now, I understand we need to live moral lives. I'm not countering that. But we do that in response to the grace and the gift that God has given us, not so that we can inherit heaven. We're saved by faith. It's a gift of God, not of works that anyone should boast, right? Ephesians chapter 2. Now, here's the good news. There are some religious groups that say that heaven's only for a select number of people. 144,000, one of them says. The only problem is that group has more than 144,000 members, so all of them aren't making it. That's the way I look at it. And I know that everybody's not going to heaven. I understand Scripture. Enter into the narrow gate. The gate is wide and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go through it. I understand that. But I'm talking to God's people that come on a Sunday night. I'm talking to people, for the most part, that are very faithful Christians. Not perfect, but faithful Christians. Let's remember there's room for all of us in heaven. Not because we're perfect, but because Jesus was perfect. You think you're too bad to be God's child? Too evil? Done too many wrong things? Then listen to the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Well, we know that. Do not be deceived, neither sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, or homosexual offenders, or thieves, or greedy, or drunkards, or slanderers, or swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. We know that. But then notice his next words. And that is what some of you were. Past tense. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Scripture teaches there is room for everyone in heaven who trusts and obeys Jesus Christ. And you don't have to be perfect because you're trusting in the perfect one. Now, I want you to be moral and I want you to live a life that honors God. But there were people in the Corinthian church who had done a lot of bad things, right? You read that laundry list of sins? And Paul adds, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. We're not going to heaven where it's not a room with a reservation sign on it for you because you're perfect, but because you've trusted in the perfect one, Jesus Christ. There is room for all who will trust Jesus and follow him. Truth number 3 is found also in verse 2 and 3. And that truth is Jesus is preparing a place for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you, Jesus said. Now, Jesus said these words to his worried disciples. He's not deserting them. He said, I'm going ahead of you. I'm getting things ready for you. I'm not deserting you. I'm preparing a place for you. I'm getting things ready for you. In a way, Jesus is saying, I'm the advance man. I'm getting heaven ready for you. Heaven will be our home. The Lord's preparing that place for us where there are no worries, no troubles, no heartaches. Know that Jesus has not abandoned us. He's preparing a place for us which is perfect. Now, what's your idea of a perfect place for rest and peace? 7-day cruise? Not bad. A cabin in the mountains? That sounds pretty good. A week's vacation from work? Sure, I'll take that. A week's vacation from your kids? Yeah. Or if you're a grandparent, a week's vacation with your kids, but no more. Some of you understand that. What's your idea of perfect peace and rest? In Scripture, it's to be with the Lord. It's to be with Jesus Christ. That's perfect peace and rest. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you" what? Rest. You got that one. There's spiritual rest for our souls that begins in this life when we trust in Jesus, when we follow Him, when we choose Him. The Hebrew writer reminds us in chapter 4 and verse 9, "There remains therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God." That means not that we're going to worship on Saturday, as some folks say. That means that their Sabbath rest is the rest in eternity. Because what did God do after His creation? He rested, didn't He? And after this life, what we do with Jesus, we rest in Him. Now, I know there's a lot I don't know about heaven. But I know Jesus is there, and He's preparing a place for us. And I trust that the place He prepares will be more than adequate for my needs. When I was a kid, we would travel 500 miles to see my aunt and uncle going from Kansas City to Indianapolis. And this is the day before freeways were completed. You know, I'm turning back the clock a long ways, okay? I'm going back over 50 years ago now. And there were stretches of freeway, yeah, but there were a lot of windy two-lane roads in that 500 miles. And, you know, we never worried about what's going to await us when we got to Aunt Mary and Uncle Wayne's house, because we knew there would be a hot meal available. We knew that there would be a bed to sleep in. We knew there would be warm hugs and embraces. We knew it was going to be a good place to be. I never worried once about the color of the carpet. I never worried once if the walls of the bedroom were going to be chartreuse. That did not enter my mind. That just was not a concern, because I was going to my aunt and uncle's house and they were going to take care of me. Brothers and sisters, whose house are we going to? We're going to Jesus' house. And He's going to take care of us, right? We don't need to worry about all the details of heaven and how the furniture is arranged and is the room big enough for us and all that kind of thing. We're just going to trust Jesus. And He's preparing that place for us. Truth number 4. It's found in verse 4 through 6. That Jesus Himself is the way. Jesus said, "You know the way to the place I am going." But what did Thomas say? "Lord, we don't know where you're going, Lord, so how can we know the way since we don't know where you're going? Lord, tell us where you're going and we'll figure out a way to get there." You know, you hear old practical Thomas. Thomas is a lot like me. You know, just tell me where and I'll meet you there. I'll be fine. I'll get there. Just tell me and I'll get there. Jesus has to reframe Thomas's thinking. And I like Thomas because, again, I'm a lot like him. He's a concrete thinker. He's the one who asked for physical evidence of the resurrection, remember? And Jesus said, "Well, you want physical evidence of the resurrection? Here's my hands, here's my feet. Stick your finger there if you want." Thomas's question in John chapter 14 implies that getting to this prepared place depended upon Thomas instead of upon Jesus. And Jesus said, "No, it depends on me. It doesn't depend on you." Thomas was saying, "Jesus, just tell me where we're going and I'll figure out a way to get there." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." I'm the way, Thomas. I am the way. Trust me. Jesus' answer to Thomas was to stop thinking about how to get there and start simply thinking about who to follow, to trust in. Stop thinking about how to figure things out and to make all the ducks get in a row and just start thinking about who you're going to trust, who you're going to follow. Follow Jesus. So often my worries, I focus on how to do something, and Jesus wants me to focus on Him. The power of the Christian life is not in understanding, but in faith. Anselm, who was a great Christian thinker of centuries ago, said it this way, "For I do not seek to understand in order that I may believe, but I believe in order that I may understand. For this I believe, that unless I believe, I shall not understand." I think Anselm understood Thomas pretty well. Probably understood me too. I like to get things figured out, you know. I like to map it out, get my plans together. I'm a lot like Thomas. Anselm said, "Don't seek to understand heaven. Don't seek to understand Jesus and divine in order to believe. If you've got to understand it all in order to come to faith, you've missed something. But rather come to faith in Jesus, and then in that faith you will have better understanding. For this I believe," Anselm said, "that unless I believe, I shall not understand." So faith that stills a troubled heart is faith in a person. It's in Jesus Himself. It's not faith in my plan to do God's will. It's faith that Jesus is going to take me home. And for all of us who identify with Thomas, Jesus says, quit trying to figure out all the details and trust me. Don't worry about the color of the carpet in your heavenly home. It's not going to be bad. It's not going to be orange shag. You don't have to worry about that. Okay? Don't lose sleep over that. Just trust Jesus. "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life," Jesus said. "No one comes to the Father but by me." You see, Jeremiah's words still ring true. "I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not in his own. It is not for man to direct his own steps." I kind of like directing my own steps, do you? Jeremiah reminds us it's not for man to direct his steps. It's for man to follow the Lord's direction for his steps. Have you ever noticed that life doesn't always go according to plan? Have you noticed that? Yeah, me too. Me too. When I was in high school, I planned to be an architect or an engineer. Now, I never wrote this down, but I can remember thinking, well, there's a couple things I won't do. I won't be a teacher because I know how much trouble we gave our teachers, and I'm not going to be a preacher. God has a wonderful sense of humor, doesn't He? Because a few years later, what am I choosing to do? We don't get through the rough transitions in life by figuring everything out, but by trusting in Jesus, who is the way, is the truth, and is the life. It's kind of like I'm running down the road of life, and Jesus pulls up and says, "Hi, Mark, good to see you. Hi, Jesus, good to see you." Jesus says, "Hop in, I'll give you a ride." And I, in my obstinacy, say, "Oh, Jesus, I'd love to have coffee with you, but I'm doing fine on my own. Just tell me where, and I'll meet you down the road. I'll get there." We're a little like Thomas. Jesus says, "Just hop in. Trust me. Get on board with me. He is the way, the truth, and the life." We get through life by trusting Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life to glory, to heaven. Not by trusting our own understanding, not by figuring out all the details, but be willing to trust ourselves and get in with Jesus because we've gotten to know Him and we'll take a ride with Him. Now, I know we don't get into strangers' cars. We get into cars with people we know. One of you pulls up and you see me, you know, sitting on the side of the road, and you pull up and you say, "Want a ride?" Don S. "Hey, Mark, you want a ride? I know Don. I'll take a ride with him." Stranger pulls up, I'm a little more hesitant, aren't you? And we need to be in our world today. Jesus is not a stranger. He's one we've gotten to know. We've gotten to know His character. We've gotten to know His heart. We've gotten to know His motives. We've gotten to know Him through the gospel, through the story of Jesus in Scripture. He asks us to get in the car with Him, to depend on Him, His power, and He'll take us to the destination. We don't have to have all the ideas mapped out. We don't have to have all the plans mapped out. We just need to trust Jesus. We need to be able to get in the car with Him. We need to be able to trust Him. And in order to trust Him, we have to know Him. We have to submit ourselves to Him in faith, believing that He is God's Son, turn our back on sin and repentance, be baptized in the Lord for the forgiveness of our sins, become a Christian. That's how we get in the car with Jesus, isn't it? And then He'll take us home. But tonight, if you're in the car with Jesus, but you're kind of cringing in the back seat and wondering what the twists and curves of life that Jesus is driving you over and where this is going, I've got one more word for you. You got in the car because you trusted Jesus. Continue to trust Him. There's no reason to quit trusting Christ just because He's taken a few shortcuts and back roads you've not been on before. In other words, quit your backseat driving. Trust in Him. The answers to life in Christ are by faith. The power of faith is in Jesus and trusting in the right answer. We don't trust in faith, we trust in Christ by faith. Tonight, if you need to make a public response to Him, to put Him on in baptism and begin a walk of faith, or if you want the prayers of this body of Christ, know that He is loving and He is faithful, and He wants to take you home. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's stand together and let's sing.